I'm going to read Abraham Cooper, theologian and statesman. Abraham Cooper, 1837 to 1920. And so, gentlemen, the professor concluded, in light of all I have learned in the recent years through the modern study of the Bible, I can no longer accept as a historical fact that Jesus' body rose from the dead. The Dutch theological students crowding the lecture hall jumped to their feet, applauding loudly. One of those clapping with enthusiasm was Abraham Kuyper, a 21-year-old training from the ministry. Although raised by his parents to believe that the scripture is the inerrant word of God, Kuyper was won over to a liberal view of the Bible soon after beginning his studies at the Leiden University in 1858. The liberals denied the miracles of the deity of Jesus of Christ, rejecting everything in the Bible which could not be proven by modern science. Within 4 years, Kuyper earned the doctorate of divinity, got married, and accepted a call to pastor a country church in the village of Beest. In this church, pastor, a member told him when he first arrived, you will find a few malcontents. They are peculiar, critical people who make life miserable for every minister. But since they are of lower in economic and social classes, you'll do well, as former ministers did, to pay no attention to them. But unwilling to ignore any of his parishioners, Kuyper talked with several of so he called malcontents, finding them devout people who took the word of God seriously. One woman of very strong convictions was Petronella Baltus. She scorned half-hearted sermons, and when the minister failed to preach the truth, she found her comfort in reading the Bible for herself, as well as the great old books from the church's past. Kuyper's preaching did not impress Petronella. She despised his liberal ideas and feared that under his preaching, the church would slide further from scripture. When Kuyper began visiting parishioners, Petronella's neighbor said to her, "The ministry is visiting the people in our neighborhood, and probably soon come to see you." "I have nothing to do with that man," Petronella answered sharply. "But don't forget, Petronella," her friend reminded her, "that our pastor too was an immortal soul, and that he is also traveling to eternity." Realizing her friend was right, Petronella welcomed Pastor Kuyper when he came to call. She talked for him with hours, sharing her living faith in Jesus Christ and her confident hope in heaven. "Pastor," she said solemnly, looking him squarely in the eye, "you too must have that same faith and hope, or you will be lost forever." Kuyper returned often to speak with Petronella and the other earnest believers in congregation. He listened, argued, and tried to find common ground on which they could agree, but often left irritated by their unwillingness to compromise. They stubbornly insisted that the Bible must be believed completely, or not at all, that God must be worshipped as sovereign Lord over all things, or not at all. For some reason, he found himself drawn to them, and he noticed that his sermon preparation came easier after spending time with them. Before long, he found himself at crossroads. "I must either stand firmly against them," he said to himself, "or go all the way with them and believing the Bible and the sovereign grace of God." He soon embraced their ideas wholeheartedly. Their unwavering persistence has been a blessing for my heart, the rise of the morning star in my life, he wrote later. They brought me, in their simple language, to adoration and exaltation of a God who works all things to do and to will according to his good pleasure. Kuyper found in the common words of these Dutch peasants the same truths of which John Calvin, the reformer of Geneva, had written about over 300 years earlier. Kuyper studied Calvin's books with new understanding and appreciation. Calvin's watchword, "God absolutely sovereign," came to Abraham Kuyper's too. A new spirit invigorated as he did. Invigorated all he did. His sermons extolled to the justice, holiness, and love of God. He faithfully visited his folk, read widely, taught weekly Bible classes, and wrote articles of newspapers and Christian journals, standing firmly for the Bible against liberals. Often he worked till 4 o'clock in the morning until his wife urged him to sleep. The blessing of God accompanied his efforts as sinners turned to Jesus Christ and Christians sought lives of greater holiness and usefulness. Before long, his preaching and writing were known throughout the Netherlands. After a time, he accepted a call to minister in the city of Utrecht and called in Amsterdam, the largest city in the land, where he challenged Christians to engage in politics in order to return Dutch society to its biblical roots. Some criticized him, saying ministers shouldn't meddle in the business of government. "Being afraid and shying away from politics," Kuyper said, "is not Christian and nor ethical." So in addition to preaching, teaching classes, and performing his pastoral duties, he served in leadership of anti-voluntary party, the Christian Party for Reform. In a famous speech, Kuyper inspired the anti-revolutionaries to action, saying, "We are called to cling to the banner of the cross, to go heroically into battle, not for personal honor or power, for the high office or financial gain, but for Christ and his future, for the spiritual deliverance of our country, so that when Christ returns, there will be found on our soil too, which once received the blood of the martyrs, a people that does not strive against him, but hails him with a hallelujah." At first, anti-revolutionary candidates were throttled at the polls, but Kuyper did not lose hope. "We are working for the future," he wrote. "We are not concerned with the seeming victory of the moment, but with the final triumph. With us, the question is not what influence we can exert now, but that the power we can exercise 50 years hence, not how few men we have today, but how many we will arise out of the younger generation who will be men of our principles. Yet, we also know that the hour of victory will someday come. Though Kuiper's writings and the work of anti-revolutionary party, the Dutch people woke up to the need of change. After years of resistance, Kuiper was elected to the Parliament, and later when the anti-revolutionary party controlled Parliament, Kuiper became the Prime Minister of the country. Seeking to shine Christ's light into every area, he said, "In all of human life, there is not a square inch of which Christ, who alone is sovereign, does not declare what is mine." He worked to increase the freedom of choice in education for elementary schools to universities, believing that parents who sent their children to a Christian or other non-state schools could be reimbursed for the amount of money whose schools were saving the state. His successful service as Prime Minister ended after 4 years. Fed up with the theological liberals who controlled all the Dutch universities and seminaries, Kuiper spoke out, not mincing words on what he believed the liberals did. They destroyed the church theology, he said. They robbed the church of her Bible and destroyed the liberty in Christ. So Abraham Kuiper, with the help of the like-minded men and women, found in the Free University. It was called free because it was not under the control of the Parliament or the liberal state church. Since there had never been an independent university in Holland, critics said, it won't last 5 years. Kuiper, who taught theology at the Free University, inspired these students from the start, saying, "We desire to train men for granite and steel who, like the Puritans of old, will stand steadfast and immovable. Men who, like the old covenanters, will, if necessary, fight the living devil in hand-to-hand combat. Men who do not look forward to a peace of ease and quiet, but who dare to fight the battle of the Lord." Although he lived to be 83, Abraham Kuiper never retired, remaining active as a churchman, anti-voluntary party member, supporter of the flourishing Free University, and writer of weekly Bible editors for the newspaper. Although he excelled as a minister, scholar, author, professor, statesman, husband, and father, Kuiper knew that only his standing with Christ ultimately mattered. So that was Abraham Kuiper. Bye guys, see you later. See you later, see you later, see ya. See ya later. Bye guys.